are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Friday episode of the show. We flipped the script, Friday show instead of a Thursday show because got to do a rapid react for this final preseason football game. 49ers lose to the Chargers 24-21 to end the exhibition season. Thank God that's over. But there's still some things we could take away from this game, so coming up here on the show, we will talk about those takeaways from a preseason week four, have some stock up, stock down, and some game balls, as is usually the case here for these rapid react episodes on the preseason games. When we get into the regular season, though, Locked On 49ers is going to jump into hyperspeed. We're going to be doing five shows per week rather than the four we've been doing in the offseason. And so, we're going to ramp it up and have more guests, more shows, talk more 49ers football with you all here on Locked On 49ers. We will still be having some mailbag episodes, so as always, get those in to me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, review the show on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are on Stitcher. We're on Google Podcasts. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find not only Locked On 49ers, but all of the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Coming into week four of the preseason, I don't know how many roster spots were actually completely up for grabs or if Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff and John Lynch and everybody has had really deep discussions yet about the final spots of the roster. You know, they have some idea of what most of the guys that are going to make it, guys who have kind of already sort of passed that threshold and they know are going to make the team, or if there was a lot of stuff that was really up for grabs here in this game. If some things were up for grabs, I think we can take some I think we can learn some lessons from this football game. The number one lesson I took from this game is there was one major question right off the bat. Why was Reuben Foster in uniform? Why was he in uniform at all? I can't believe it. He started and ended up playing, I think, three series in this game into the second quarter. I know he's suspended for the first 2 weeks. You know, nice to get him some reps. But, dude, have the guy running sprints. Reuben Foster does not need reps in a football game. He came off a concussion last week, and I'm sure he must have passed that concussion protocol, but there's too many ways that he could get injured with his style of play. The bad severely outweighs the good that could have come from those snaps for Reuben Foster, so I really question that, and they'd have had a lot of splaining to do if Reuben Foster would have come up hurt in that football game. But he didn't, and so all is good, and Reuben Foster's good to go, and he'll be ready to jump back into the starting lineup at will linebacker in week number three against the Kansas City Chiefs. And most likely, I think the writing is on the wall. His partner in the middle at Mike linebacker will be rookie who did not play tonight, which is a big sign that they're trying to keep him from getting hurt. Fred Warner, the rookie third rounder, will be starting middle linebacker from day one, which is pretty amazing since he missed some time even during in camp. But he's looked awesome. And that's your dynamic combo long-term, Fred Warner, Reuben Foster inside at linebacker. So what about the rest of these guys on defense? The rest of the starters on defense, Solomon Thomas, Sheldon Day, DJ Jones, and Ronald Blair were on the defensive line. Reuben Foster, I mentioned, along with Brock Coyle at linebacker and Dakota Watson playing that strong side linebacker spot. He hadn't been playing a lot of that so far this preseason. Cornerbacks, rookie Tarvarius Moore and Greg Maben, and then at safety was Tyvus Powell and Antone Exum. And they let Geno Smith kind of make some plays running the ball up the middle, but Solomon Thomas looked like a monster running through a tight end. You can't really block Solomon Thomas with the tight end. Solomon Thomas is so explosive straight ahead, and I love him rushing from the inside because he can blow past guys because he gets off the line instantly, but he's powerful and explosive, so he can. I really like his interior rush and his power rush, not as much from the outside because he's a little tight and lacks that lateral quicks and ability to turn the corner, but he runs right through a tight end who had no shot blocking him. Stuffs a run in the backfield on the first series. Ronald Blair active. He had a hustle sack and then another got to the QB again and then had a penalty for landing on the quarterback, which is kind of a ridiculous call, but that's something we're going to see a lot again. And it's really weird. You can't tackle a quarterback the same way you can tackle other guys, and it's already hard enough to tackle everybody else on an NFL field right now. So you can't land on the quarterback. So you got to somehow tackle them and make sure your body weight doesn't land on the quarterback. And so, I don't know. Whatever. Ronald Blair got flagged for that. But yeah, he was active. Really liked a lot of what I saw from Ronald Blair in this game. The starters on the offense, and they went three and out very quickly. CJ Beathard at quarterback. Alfred Morris got a little bit of a run at running back. Both of them only lasted one series. Fullback Malcolm Johnson, Aldrick Robinson, and Kendrick Bourne at wide receiver. Cole Wick was listed as the starters on offense, but I don't think I ever saw him on the field. Daryl Williams at left tackle, Jonathan Cooper left guard, Coleman Shelton at center, Joshua Garnett at right guard, and Andrew Lauderdale at right tackle. In the 49ers' second, third team offensive line, particularly at tackle, did not have a good showing on the night. And I think that might have been the reason why CJ Beathard didn't really stay for long. He got one series and he was out. I think the idea was to get Alfred. I thought he might not play at all, but Alfred Morris only got one series there as well. And they were not looking good. Daryl Williams, man, he was a swinging gate. Unfortunately, in this game, a quick three and out in that first series for the offense. Daryl Williams gives up the sack to, I think it was Chris Landrum or Nwosu. They both got in there multiple times, especially Landrum against that unit on offense. And Nick Mullins gets hit on the second drive. I think it was Landrum that time going right around Daryl Williams. So I think the Niners will scour the waiver wire for OTs. They're going to have three, though, on the roster because you have your two starters in Staley and McGlinchey, and then you have Gary Gilliam, who's going to have to be the swing tackle. And that's definitely it for the tackles that are going to make the 53. But they got to have a guy on the practice squad. Last year was Daryl Williams, and looked promising in the preseason. I like Daryl Williams a lot. It looks like, though, he may have regressed a little bit. So I have a feeling the 49ers are going to scour the waiver wire. Maybe not for someone on the 53, but for maybe some other names that they can add to the practice squad. And center Coleman Shelton has a really good shot at the practice squad and maybe an outside shot at the 53 because Eric Magnuson is out and maybe a lack of centers on the roster, especially if with Weston Richburg being the starting center and then Mike Person probably starting at right guard and he's the backup center. They don't have another guy to snap the ball on the 53 the way it looks now. So Coleman Shelton, good shot to stick around at least on the practice squad for a little while. Battle of the Coles. It wasn't really much of a battle because Cole Wick didn't – I don't know where he was. It says he started, and I didn't see him with the starters or at all, which tells me maybe that he does have a lead and that they're trying to hold him back from getting hurt. And they gave a lot of run to Cole Hikutini, man, and he just has not been able to just grab that spot. So in my projection, I had Cole Wick beating out Hikutini for the 53 man, and I think I got to stick with that. And I just judging by the way they used him and not putting Cole Wick out there a lot, and Hikutini, if Hikutini's not going to be much of a blocker at all, he's got to be a little bit more of a mismatch, and he's got to come down with easy catches and some tough catches. And, you know, he just hasn't done that. He's just, you know, that one step away, that one play away from doing something that I think could have really secured a roster spot for him, but he had a drop down the seam on a pass from Nick Mullins, took his eye off the ball to take a little peek at the defender, who got flagged for a hit, actually. But yeah, so the battle of the Coles for the number three tight end spot really wasn't much of a battle at all, even though Hikutini played quite a bit, and I might have been more impressed by Ross Dwelly, the other tight end on the roster, even more so than Cole Hikutini. Joshua Garnett, like what I'm seeing from Garnett, playing with confidence. He really wants to bury guys, which is good and bad. I remember watching his Stanford tape, and he would really get out on his skis. He'd get out in front and overextend because he wanted to kill people, and I still see a little bit of that in him. I'd like to see him get into position first, use technique, get to the second level, be in position, then finish the guy. But he lunges sometimes looking for the knockout before he gets into position, and I think that can hurt him a little bit. But he does seem to get out on the second level a little bit better. I think I like the where he's kind of fitting into this offense now that he's healthy, definitely moving better than he had with the dropped weight. I don't know if he's done enough to take the starting spot from Mike Person, but Joshua Garnett, welcome to the 53-man roster, I think, without a doubt, as the backup right guard. DJ Jones, the dude can hold the point of attack. He is strong. He can shed blockers with his hands, which I love. He's not just taking on blocks. He can move the blockers out of the way and make a play on the ball. Love that. He won't start if Earl Mitchell's on the roster, but maybe he should. And maybe Earl Mitchell is expendable now, so we'll see. But this was against backups, though, I know, and some third stringers. But DJ Jones really has done all he can this offseason, this preseason, to prove that he's ready maybe for prime time and get some serious snaps at nose tackle for this football team. Have I told you guys about the launching of the Locked On Podcast College network of teams? We've got a ton of podcasts launching for college. Not just, I mean, there's going to be a lot of college football, let's be honest, but they're going to cover all the college sports for these universities: Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida State, Oklahoma, Baylor, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon. All have shows that are launching now with more to come. So we're going to have a lot of coverage for a lot of the Power Five conferences and powerhouse colleges, and cover a ton of college football. So you college football fans should check those out on the Locked On Podcast Network. Nick Mullins doing what Nick Mullins does, spreading the ball around. I like his poise. He doesn't have wow tools or anything, but, you know, hitting, there was a nice drive where he hit Ross Dwelly, Stephen Dunbar, and then took it in himself for a score with also a nice block from Ross Dwelly, who I think lined up at fullback on that play because Malcolm Johnson left the game and he was the only fullback who was suited up. So a nice block from Dwelly in the process and paving the way for Nick Mullins to go in for the score. I got to talk about Anton Exum a little bit, because on the next drive, he absolutely stoned Cardale Jones. This was on a red zone play just at the end of the first half. And Cardale was trying to get out and scramble and make his way to the end zone with his feet. And Exum really is the only pure backup safety left right now. And it will be interesting to see if Exum gets a spot on the 53 or they go with the versatile hybrid backup cornerback safety types as just the only backups to Jaquaski Tartt and Adrian Colbert, as I projected earlier this week. But I like some things I saw from Exum, and he really squared up Jones on that play and just completely denied him, which was a good play. And Exum showed up, I think, throughout this game. I think he's played both free safety and strong safety and played almost the entire game. So getting a good look either for the 49ers or possibly auditioning for some other teams that might need an addition at safety. Moving on to the third quarter, Pita Taumoipinu, who is a bubble player, but I think fairly safe. He left the game with a shoulder or neck injury, stinger, or something like that. He was down for a minute, but jogged off the field and into the medical tent. I was a little bit worried that all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, well, here's another guy going on IR. But he has an inside track and a roster spot, I think, since Eli Harold was traded. But I don't think he's played so well that the team won't look for waiver wire replacements this weekend. Pita would end up playing through it and back on the field, and so battling through that injury. He was kind of favoring his left arm later in the third quarter. But, yeah, he battled through, so that's good. Got to the quarterback one time, couldn't bring him down. Actually, a couple times in the end zone, kind of around the quarterback a couple times, not necessarily hitting the quarterback or anything. Man, the 49ers have so many guys that can create some pressure sometimes and just can't finish the job. Pita's showing that again tonight, and I don't know if he lacks a little bit of instincts as a pass rusher, and if that kind of thing will grow, because he's got some athleticism. He's undersized, you know, he's an edge rusher, but I want to see a little bit more development from Pita before I stamp him and be like, yeah, okay, we gotta keep this guy around for the long haul. One thing was clear about the 49ers' third team defensive line is they couldn't hold up, they couldn't hang, man. They were getting run all over, gouged in different ways. And that goal line sequence to end the first half, I think, was a really good display that the front seven, I mean, all of them, all seven guys were pushed like, 5 yards back into the end zone. So once DJ Jones left the game, they had much more difficult time on defense stopping the run. Just not a lot of beef, not a lot of, and the backup linebackers, too. I want to see, Toomer hasn't really done much to jump out to me at all in the preseason. Neither has Elijah Lee. Elijah Lee has played a lot, and he's athletic, undersized linebacker. He just doesn't make plays. Like, I want to see those linebackers. I don't care how big, fast, how you're shaped. I want to see that instincts and see guys just make plays. And I don't see that from either one of those guys. And I think they've both done enough to be the last linebacker on the roster. But there's a chance that whichever one of those guys makes it is dropped again in week 3 once Reuben Foster's back anyways, because I don't know how many backups you need at linebacker. If they go too deep at both Mike and Will, I think that's probably enough. Tyvus Powell made a good stop on a punt return. The 49ers should have enough guys, I think, to cover all their special teams needs if they do cut a player like Aaron Burbridge, who didn't play, in favor of a younger wide receiver with higher upside like Richie James and Kendrick Bourne. And by the way, Richie James, the Richie James show got going midway through the third quarter. A first down catch, 27-yarder from Nick Mullins down the right sideline. Very good throw and route and catch by Richie James. Then he even got a pitch or a shovel pass looking thing out of the backfield. They ran it again. It's a short screen pass. The second time is what it more looked like. You know, almost a pitch because he's so close to the quarterback. It wasn't like a normal screen where he's way out at wide receiver. But that was all on the same drive. And then James took it inside the 5-yard line on that last screen pass. And then Kyle Shanahan said, you know what, we're going for it. Fourth down. And Jeremy McNichols got stuffed. And so they turned the ball over there going for it on fourth down. It was a preseason. You got to go for it. Jack Hannigan getting his first look as a 49ers quarterback. Fourth string QB, undrafted out of Dartmouth, 6'4", 230, big guy. Could run it a little bit, I was surprised about. Got out there and made a few plays with his legs. He's the son of longtime 49ers front office guy Lyle Hannigan. And it was nice to see him get his first NFL action. And yeah, he didn't look lost. He looked all right. He looked like someone who could hang on a practice squad, I think. He hit Richie James on a hook and then shoots his shot on his first drive, looking deep for Vic Bolden. And they didn't connect, but it worked. Interference, pass interference penalty, set up a short Jeff Wilson touchdown run. So Jack Hannigan putting the 49ers into the end zone. And in the fourth quarter, that was, 20, if we're keeping score here, which I don't know, but 2014 Chargers at that point going into the fourth quarter. Julian Taylor's sack, that was nice to see him show up again because he's been absent for a couple weeks after his coming out party in the first preseason game. And he was unblocked and then way too much for the running back to try to pick up because that's a big boy. Richie James picking up his 7th catch in the fourth quarter. He and Stephen Dunbar each with really good catches just off the turf from a couple of low throws from Hannigan. Wanted to call him his dad's name. Jack Hannigan kind of throws that maybe a little bit of that Blaine Gabbert sinker. There's multiple guys trying to kind of picking up the ball off the turf from his passes. Although his deep ball was pretty to Vic Bolden. Jeremy McNichols with his best run of the preseason, I think, to finish off that drive and plunge it in from 6 yards out for the go-ahead touchdown with 3 minutes left, 21-20 San Francisco. So you're thinking, yeah, another Niners backup is a good story coming in, game-winning drive, but not so fast. Newsome 63-yard kickoff return on the ensuing kickoff. Justin Jackson had a nice 16-yard run. That set up a Robert Aguayo field goal, which gave the Chargers the 24-21 win over the 49ers, thus ending the 2018 preseason. Thank God that's over. A lot of good things to take away from the preseason, but I think I speak for all the listeners out there, we're ready for the real thing. Week one coming up in Minnesota, just about 9 days away. We've got a full week of podcast to gear up for that next week. All right, let's finish this podcast off and let's end the preseason with another stock up, stock down, and give out some game balls, or game ball, as it is in this case. There's just one man who deserves the game ball after this one. Okay, stock up, stock down. Let's start with Ronald Blair, stock up. He's one of the best 53 players on the 49ers, I think. And he just happens to play the deepest position. That's where they're deepest, along the defensive line, and especially at the big ends. The guys who can play big end, the guys who can play inside a little bit. He's athletic. I love the motor. I've really liked him ever since I watched him play in college as one of my favorite bulky picks that year. I really think that Blair, if the 49ers don't keep him, will get picked up. And I think he's shown enough if somebody's, you know, needs that extra defensive lineman on another roster, sees him play tonight, sees how he's played throughout his career. I think he will definitely have a job next week, whether it's with the 49ers or not. I would not be shocked if they make a trade either. You know, maybe Ronald Blair, maybe if they decide to move on from Earl Mitchell. But man, he's on that bubble. Again, he's one of the best 53, but I think, can you take like that, you know, 10 defensive linemen, 11 defensive linemen that might deserve to make the team, but a lot of them are very similar. Speaking of similar players, stock up to the second-year guy, Solomon Thomas, who's primed for a breakout year, I think, in 2018, and I love the way he's being used outside on rundowns. He's going to rush from inside on passing downs. That's where he belongs. It's a good fit for him. He's such a powerful player. He's working on his technique, so he's getting better, and he's explosive, and I think he's going to have a chance to really wreak some havoc. I hope he can get home, and I hope he can get to the quarterback this year, and I hope he can not just pressure, but actually sack the quarterback, and that goes for everybody along the defensive line, and Buckner and Eric Armstead, throughout their careers, respectively, all those guys, they've been able to pressure but not sack the quarterback, so let's keep the pressure numbers up and then convert the sacks. That will be key to the 49ers' recipe for success this year with how their defensive line is constructed and what type of players they have, a lot of power guys when it comes to pass rushers up front. And you know what? I've got a mystery stock up. I wasn't able to watch a replay yet before I recorded this podcast. The game just ended. And so I want to know who the gunner was opposite of Mostert. Because whoever that player was is the guy who's going to make the team if Aaron Burbridge is the guy that gets cut. And I couldn't see who that was. And I kept forgetting to look. And sometimes the TV broadcast isn't perfect for that. And I haven't been able to watch the replay. So I'm going to put a placeholder there for stock up because we might have gotten a clue who that player is that's going to make the roster. And I think it must be somebody that's probably in the secondary. So whether it's Exum or Tyvus Powell or Greg Maben or DJ Reed would seem to have a good skill set for that. And maybe one of the wide receivers. That'll give us a clue if Aaron Burbridge doesn't make the roster, who might be locked in there as the gunner along with Raheem Mostert for the 49ers. A stock down, Darrell Williams Jr. He's regressed since last year. I thought he had a future and doesn't seem to be playing with any urgency or confidence right now. So unfortunately, Darrell Williams Jr. had the worst game I've seen from him since he became a 49er and kind of got worse this preseason than he was as an undrafted free agent last preseason. So stock down for Darrell Williams Jr. This was his last shot to make the 53, and I think that's a resounding no for him now. But it was unlikely he was going to unseat Gary Gilliam to be the swing tackle anyways, but he might have competition now just to even make the practice squad. It's funny because I had Jeremy McNichol's name written down here as a stock down. He's been a little bit stiff as a runner, almost looks too muscled up at times, doesn't move well, not smooth. You know, remember last week seeing Alfred Morris and seeing that little bit of burst and seeing those great feet. And you don't see that type of running ability in small spaces from Jeremy McNichols, but he finished it off well with that last run and getting squared up and hitting the hole and scoring the 6-yard touchdown. So I'm not going to name him, even though I kind of just did as a stock down, but I'm going to retract Jeremy McNichols from a stock down. But I, at this point, I just don't think there's any chance McNichols makes the roster, which is the way I felt anyways coming in. And I think he's got competition even for the practice squad. Jeff Wilson might get that practice squad spot over McNichols, and I'm sure there's going to be at least one running back there on the practice squad. And one of the most telling moments in that football game was the telecast caught Kyle Shanahan on the sideline following the turnover when Jeremy McNichols fumbled on one play. I think it was early in the second half, and Shanahan was not pleased. Coaches do not like turnovers, so that did not help him at all. But he redeemed himself maybe a little bit with the touchdown run, but yeah, I think it's zero chance that Jeremy McNichols actually makes the final 53, and it might be a rough one for him to make the practice squad as things are constructed. But he scored a touchdown, so I'm officially taking him off the stock down list. He's just sort of stock stays where I already thought he wasn't going to make the roster anyways. Stock down, I think Jonathan Cooper is a stock down for me. He played pretty much the entire game at left guard. I mean, he needed the reps on one hand, but you don't put a guy out there for the entire game that needs to be a key backup. So that was interesting. And I think Ronald Blair, even though I think he's a stock up, I think Ronald Blair, by playing a lot, might have helped himself, whereas Jonathan Cooper didn't look great. That left side of the offensive line was kind of rugged throughout the game, and Cooper didn't seem to be looking like he was moving like that first-round athlete that I remember that he once was. He wasn't awful necessarily, but either he's still not 100% with his injuries, or his long list of injuries throughout his NFL career have really taken a toll. I expected to see a more athletic guy, you know, a better fit for Kyle's scheme, and he got out there on a couple plays and was able to get to the second level, but just didn't look like someone that I would be worried if the 49ers did cut. But at this point, I don't know if anybody is around that you would keep over Jonathan Cooper. Maybe like I mentioned before, Coleman Shelton, because he can snap the ball, because he can play center. You just go with the young guy and you cut the veteran maybe. I don't know. But I didn't see a guy that I would fight for to make the roster in Jonathan Cooper. And that's really the only extended action I've seen from him this preseason. Okay, that's my stock up, stock down. And I've reserved one game ball for one special individual. That is one of the players I really liked in the draft. He's a shadow 49er. He is a real 49er. He had 7 catches for 80 yards, and that is Richie James, who, if there was any question, and I think he had already made the roster, if there was any question at all, that was a slam dunk performance from Richie James in the second half to prove he deserves to be one of the 53 who go to Minnesota with the 49ers. Love what I see from Richie James. The confidence coming in as a seventh round wide receiver. Everything he does is smooth. Natural hands. He gets open. He's tough at the catch point. He can run after the catch. Not even no drops. It's like there's no double catches. There's no bobbling of the ball. You throw the ball his way, he catches it. He gets upfield. He has just a great feel for the game. And he might not see the field that much for the next bit of his career, unless he's playing special teams. He's going to be down on the depth chart a little bit, and he might not even be one of the guys that dresses as the 46 who dress on game day. So I'll take this opportunity to give Richie James a game ball, because we might not see that much of him to start the season, but I think he might start to earn himself a role as the season goes on, especially if there are some injuries, like to Trent Taylor, for example, because Richie James, I think, could be a dynamic slot, and there might not be much drop-off at all, to be honest with you, from Trent Taylor to Richie James. And that's not to say anything bad about Trent Taylor at all. Love me some Trent Taylor. I love his toughness and basically an extension of the running game and his clutch ability on third down and his toughness being a smaller receiver, catching the ball over the middle. But I think, you know, James just has a little bit more juice, gives you a little more down the field, a little more after the catch because he's just faster. And so the 49ers got themselves a good one there, a nice gem in the seventh round. A lot of good young receivers in San Francisco. See if these guys develop over the course of the year in their careers with Jimmy Garoppolo. And they've got some time because the starters are set. All right, that's going to do it. Goodbye to the preseason. Hello, regular season. Find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, review the show, tell a friend. And I'll be back with you guys on Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.